Again, good morning and welcome to Worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us. If you're here for the first time, we're especially pleased, and we would love to meet you. If you've recently begun attending and we haven't met you, we would love to meet you. So those of us who are here week in and week out, we'll seek out people we don't know, shake your hand, and welcome you. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you introduce yourselves to us, because we love it that you're here, and we'd love it if you would make a home here with us. Now, the primary way to do that, of course, is getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of those opportunities listed in your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a few. First of all, our monthly Today service will be at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary. This is a time of singing and prayer and silence and a wonderful respite from the noisiness and busyness of the world. So, Today, 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Also, the final performance of Agnes of God will be in the four-story theater beginning at 3 p.m. today. If you haven't seen this very powerful play, let me encourage you to do so. It is well-written, well-performed, and this is your last chance to see this particular production of it. 3 in the four-story theater. We are continuing our work to prepare for our habitat build. You can sign up to help out in Reed Hall, but we have only raised at this point $14,000 of the $30,000 we need. Now, we've always met or exceeded that budget, so it's time to get going. We can do better than this. If you want to designate a gift for Habitat, simply write it in the memo line of the check or put it on the outside of an envelope in which you put your cash in and turn it in. I feel quite sure we will achieve our goal, but we need to go ahead and do that. Also, this coming Tuesday at 10 a.m. at Just Love Coffee, women of the congregation or women who are visiting who would like to get to know other women in the congregation will be meeting for coffee. That's Just Love Coffee on Debumbrian at 10 a.m. If you need more information, contact Nancy Hawthorne. Also, our Wednesday evening programming is beginning again. It will start the 26th of this month, and we will have a number of Bible studies available, including a long-term study, the Covenant Bible study, if you would like a more long-term experience of the Bible. And then we have several short-term studies. You can learn about those in Reed Hall. You can sign up for those in Reed Hall. And there is one change that I need to tell you about. So you can snooze through the rest of the announcements, but not this one. We are requiring you to make reservations this year. We've been kind of loose about that. But what we're going to do is, if you're coming for dinner, we expect you to make a reservation. If you don't make a reservation, you may have to wait a little while to follow those who did. If you make a reservation and you don't show up, we expect you to pay for that because the food has been prepared. So a little bit different way of going about it. You'll get an email about this. You'll read more about it in your bulletin insert. But let me just say, we're serious about this. We need reservations, okay? Okay. And finally, today is Caroline McReynolds Adams' last Sunday with us. We thank God for Caroline, and she and her husband are moving to Washington, D.C. to take a part in other opportunities for them, but she has made a significant difference in the lives of those of us here, especially our young people, and we are grateful. Did you ever get a song stuck in your head? It was like it was passing through your ears and it got hung on something and it wouldn't go away and it just keeps repeating and repeating. And it may be a song that you love, and that's a wonderful thing. It may be a song that kind of drives you crazy after a while. But that music gets into your body and lives there. Well, guess who is the source of all that music, all those songs? These are gifts from God. And believe me, we're going to be talking some more about these gifts in a few minutes, so hang around.
give thanks to the Lord with all your heart and soul. We rejoice over the blessings God has poured out on us. We seek the grace to ask what God would have us do. We rejoice in God's guidance and wisdom. Let us sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. May we be filled with the Spirit and give thanks to God. We stand in God's presence with awe and thanksgiving, and yet we are filled with regret for our many sins and failings. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Great Spirit, whose voice we hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear us. We come before you as your children. We are small and weak. We need your strength and wisdom. Let us walk in beauty and make our eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. May our hands respect the things you have made. Our ears be sharp to hear your voice. Make us wise so that we may know the things you have taught your people, the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. We seek strength not to be superior to our brothers and sisters, but to live in harmony with ourselves and all of your creation. Help us to be ever ready to come to you, so when life fades as a fading sunset, our spirits may come to you without shame. Through God's grace, we are forgiven. By the mercy of our Creator, through the love of Christ, and in the power of the Spirit, let us rejoice and be glad. Glory to God. Amen.
Oh,
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are others who would care to join us, come on down, bring a parent if you feel like it. That's perfectly all right. I bet everybody here has a favorite song, or maybe more than one favorite songs. I know my favorite song changes over time, but when I was a little boy, I was so little, I don't even know if I remember this or if my mom and dad just told me about it so much that I think I remember it. But my favorite song was, "Here Comes Peter Cottontail, Hopping Down the Bunny Trail, Hippity Hoppity Happy Easter Day," right? Or Easter's on its way, depending on the verse. Well, I didn't just sing it at Easter. I sang it all year long. I thought a good song was good for the whole year. And when my parents would try to tell me, "Honey, that's an Easter song," it didn't make any difference because I'd gotten it inside me, and I loved it. And so I changed it. I think maybe it was that hippity-hop part that I liked so much. But, you know, sometimes when we sing songs, they really get inside us. And you may have noticed we sing songs every time we get together here on Sunday morning. And I bet over the years some of those songs get inside you as well. I know I remember some songs that I heard when I was just a little bitty boy, and then as I got older and when I was a teenager. And I've even learned some songs as an adult that are some of my favorites. Sometimes the tune will get stuck in my head, and sometimes the words and the tune will, and it'll just keep running through and through. And I know that the song has become a part of me. Well, you know, that music is there to remind us that God is with us, that God loves us, and to help strengthen us to love other people. And sometimes music does that better than absolutely anything else in the world. So I'm going to be talking a little bit more about music and how important it is in the next few minutes. And when I do, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? Let's pray. Thank you for putting music in our lives, oh God. Thank you for shaping us and making us into the kind of people that you want us to be, sometimes even through songs. Help us in our singing, and even when we're not, to share your love with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. Almost 20 years ago, when I was preparing to go to serve at Blakemore, just down the street, I hadn't even been there for a Sunday yet, and I was informed that I was to teach the older adult class. I wasn't invited, okay? I wasn't requested, I was informed. Well, that's okay. It was the expectation. I showed up on that morning. It was a fairly full class at that time. During the 8 years I was there, I saw that class dwindle number by number by number and person by person by person, and I did services for all of those folks. By then, they had become my friends, so that by the time I left, it was a much smaller class. But on that very first day, we were just getting acquainted. We were getting to know each other. So I was taking some questions, and an older gentleman in the back raised his hands, and he said, "Are you going to sing songs we know? Are you going to sing these new songs?" And I said, "Well, you know, I actually don't know what songs you know, but I bet if you look around the room, different people know some different songs. And since you're a member of a Sunday school class, I can only assume that you're interested in learning new things." "So we'll probably sing some songs that you know, and we'll probably sing some new ones as well." Well, that only worked partially with him, but you know, we do have those songs that are important to us, and most of the time it's not because of their theological meaning, and it's not because of the beauty of the poetry. Many times it's because we remember standing next to a parent or a grandparent and hearing those songs sung even before we could read the words, which of course sometimes leads to some misunderstandings and misinterpretations. like the child who asked her mom to sing the hymn about the bear. And her mother said, I don't know a hymn about a bear. She said, oh, yeah, you do. We sing it at church. Gladly, the cross-eyed bear. Or sing the song about Andy. Now, you all know the song about Andy, right? Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me I'm his own. Well, pretty soon all that gets straightened out. But you know what? Those songs still continue to live inside us and shape us and make us who we are. Now, the writer of Ephesians knows that. We've already talked about how the emphasis in the book is on the unity of the body of Christ. How do we pull together? How do we bear each other's burdens? How do we support each other? How do we speak to each other and interact, especially in this time of present darkness? Or as in this passage it says, the time is evil. The image that comes through very strongly in that book is that all around us there is hatred and destruction and exclusion. And yet the body of Christ is supposed to be different from that. So how do we do that? How do we cultivate that oneness? Well, a part of it is in sharing songs. And that's exactly the remedy that's proposed in today's text. Don't get drunk on wine, it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, we know what happens when people are filled with the Spirit. We read about that at Pentecost, didn't we? And people thought they were drunk, didn't they? And I love Peter's reasoning. No, we couldn't be drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. He didn't say check back later. To be filled with the Spirit is not to be intoxicated, because that means you're taking in a toxin. A poison. To be filled with the Spirit is to be enthused, in theos, filled with God. Do you know that's what enthusiasm means? To be filled with God. We are enthused in our singing sometimes. I watch you all out there, and not everybody is as enthused as everybody else. But we are to be filled with God's Spirit as we sing. And we are to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. In fact, a recent translation says, speak to each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the way we are to communicate, through these images and through this music. Now, as I was growing up, I had a number of friends from the Church of Christ, and I know this was a text that was important for them, at least, in terms of interpreting why they didn't have instrumental music in their churches. But you know, I also noticed something else. I noticed that those were the kids who could sing harmony without looking at a line of music, in part because they had stood next to parents and grandparents, and they had learned how to sing in parts. Early on, for as long as they could remember, they could do that. They just knew. I can't do that. I can't do that. Even though my interpretation of that text is different from theirs, listen, something good came out of that. Something that I can't do. That's how we support each other. That's how we learn from each other. It's not just the stories we share. They are important. It's the songs we share. It's the music we share. It's the music we carry with us in our bodies and in our hearts. The vibrations that live in our bodies, the images that live in our imaginations, those are what we carry with us that make us who we are. Some years later, while I was still at Blakemore, my mom came to live with us because my dad was having open heart surgery at St. Thomas. And my mom had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's a few years before. We had to put signs on the doors to say, you're at Mike's house, don't leave. We had to have somebody with her all the time. There was a lot that she couldn't remember. She certainly couldn't keep up with her medicine. She couldn't keep up with whether she had eaten. She couldn't keep up with whether she had taken a shower. But sometimes on a Wednesday night or a Friday night, our bluegrass band, the Blakemore Boys, would play. And we would take my mom to that, and she would sit there, and as they sang the old gospel hymns, she sang along and knew every word. Now, studies have been done to show that folks with various kinds of dementia can remember songs more quickly than they can any other form of communication, and especially those songs they learned when they were young. Music doesn't disappear in the same way that other kinds of learning might, because it lives in our bodies. Our bodies remember even when our minds can't. Isn't that a miracle? Isn't that a wonderful thing? And every Sunday we get to infuse our bodies enthusiastically with those vibrations, with that music. I was listening to NPR this past week, and there was an interview with some physicians who had done studies, I think primarily in England, on the use of music to reduce pain, post-operative pain and other kinds of pain. What they found was that music could be used to reduce pain up to two levels, which is as good as certain pain medications can do without the side effects. So you're asking, okay, what music is it? Give us this music. It's whatever music you love. It's the music you carry around in your body. It is whatever has formed you musically that will help alleviate that pain. There's not a particular type that works better than another. Isn't that a miracle? Isn't that a wonder that the music that lives in our bodies can do that? Can affect our bodies in those ways? I think Ephesians is here to remind us that in a world that seems set upon destroying itself and others, in a world that seems fueled by hatred and exclusion, in a world that clearly could today be described as this present darkness, or a time that is evil. If you just look around, it's not hard to see that. All you have to do is watch the news. That in a time like that, we as followers of Jesus have a particular song to sing. And it's a song that we learn here in community. And it's a song that lives in our bodies and forms us as the people we are. And it's a song that we can sing in the world as our witness. That is our witness. So I want to leave you with one particular image. Years ago, when the Serbs and the Croats and other groups within the Balkan states were fighting each other, were living out ancient hatreds. Isn't that interesting how quickly love dissolves and how long hatred hangs on? Living out ancient hatreds, killing each other, trying to destroy people who had been their neighbors at one point simply because they had a different language, were of a different ethnicity. And there was a single cellist who would walk out into the streets of Sarajevo, open his case, take out his cello, put his chair in the midst of destroyed buildings, in the midst of streets where there were huge holes from the blasts. You could hear the artillery in the distance, and he would play. He would simply take out his cello, and he would play. He would go away, and then again he would appear in another place, and he would play. It was his witness against the hatred, the destruction, the hurt, the exclusion that was going on all around him. Isn't that who we are as followers of Jesus? Aren't we that cellist? Aren't we the ones who have the music that you take out into a world bent on destroying itself? And wherever we go, we might not be able to rebuild those buildings, but we have a song to sing, and it's our calling to sing it. And my friends, I don't believe there is a higher calling. We remind ourselves of that song in a lot of ways, sometimes by singing it, but sometimes by telling a story, and one way we tell our story is through affirmations of faith. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and let's tell our story. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who worship with us today are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. I invite you to take note of the gray card in the pew rack. One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for the church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card with your contact information. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer request. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the end of the near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. And as the pad is passed down your pew, please take note of those who are sitting with you, especially if they are visitors, and we hope you'll greet them as you leave the service today. Several joys and concerns we want to share this morning. First, we want to let you know that the rose on the altar today is to celebrate the birth of Clyde McKenzie Myers, who was born July 31st to Cameron and Amy Bowers Myers. He's welcomed also by his grandparents, Greg and Nan Bowers, and his aunt, Katie Bowers. We also celebrate with Kim Young, our property and operations manager here at West End. She welcomed her granddaughter, Ivy Annalise England, on Saturday, August 8th. The parents are Alyssa and Kyle England. We offer sympathy to the family of Aaron, Stan, Logan, and Anna Claire Pritchett, and they're mourning the death of Aaron's father, William Billy Richard Gow, who died Friday, August 7th. Services were held for him on August 9th here in Nashville. We also extend sympathy to John, Rebecca, Hudson, William, and Rebecca Gillian, and their family who are mourning the death of John's father, Floyd Gilliland, who died Saturday, August 8th. Services were held for him on August 15th in Arkansas. We send sympathy to Susan and Luke Gregory and their family who are mourning the death of Susan's mother, Dorothy Jean Cudden Atkinson, who died Tuesday, August 11th. Services will be held on Monday, August 17th at 11 a.m. in Scales Chapel. Visitation will precede the service in Bishop's Parlor beginning at 10 a.m. And we also extend sympathy to the family of Mary McEwen, who was a director of food services at West End for many years. She died on August 9th at the age of 95. Her services were held yesterday at Spruce Street Baptist Church. And we do want to keep in our prayer Pat Anderson, who's recovering from surgery. She's at St. Thomas Midtown, but hopes to go to rehab tomorrow. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have redeemed your people. Holy and awesome is your name. O God, you are ever mindful of your covenant and invite us to ask gifts of your goodness. In your steadfast love, receive our requests for the well-being of your church, your world, and your people. Grant your church understanding and discernment to faithfully carry out your mission in the world. Cause us to walk in wisdom concerning your creation, mindfully stewarding its provision for all living creatures. Give those who govern wise and discerning minds, that your way of justice and compassion may prevail among the nations. Provide food for the hungry, hope for the despairing, and wisdom for the wandering. Help us make the most of our days, walking in your ways, filled with your spirit, living out your will. Strengthen our faith, deepen our love, empower our witness. Lord God, you are our sun and shield, our strength and hope. With joy we entrust our prayer to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now hear our prayers. We join our voices together to pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think you know that this year is our 12th Habitat Build, and I want to thank Bill Ferris and Sean Kennedy, who volunteered to be our build coordinators, and Bonnie C., who is once again coordinating food. Bill is now going to come share a few words about where we are in this year's build.
It's habitat time. Our church will again build a habitat house next month for Tanya DePriest and for her three children. I'm proud to say, as in the previous years, we have always met and exceeded our commitment. The church pledged to Habitat 75 volunteer opportunities over 6 days on four weekends, starting September 12th. To date, 43 volunteers have committed to 50 opportunities. 25 volunteer opportunities are still available. There is a day available for you. You can volunteer multiple times. One gentleman has volunteered for four Saturdays. Two ladies have volunteered for 2 days each, and one couple, 2 days each. Both men and women are needed, young and old. Carpenter and home repair skills are not required. On the second point, Michael stole my thunder, but that's all right. It's worth repeating. We have committed $30,000 as we have in the previous years. We're one half of the cost of this build. Since this morning, we've picked up almost $1,000. $15,000 still needs to be raised to fulfill our obligation. Please consider making a gift today or this week. Every one of us can give, time, money, or both. And we thank each of you that have already pledged your time and your money for Tanya's new home. You have started this year with a solid foundation. When the service is over, come see me in Reed Hall at the Habitat table, and I'll find a day for you. Thank you.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all who love him may have life eternally. With loving hearts, let us bring our offerings to God.
Our sending forth is found on the page just opposite the prayer, the song we just sang. Let us pray. Glorious God, source of joy and righteousness, enable us as redeemed and forgiven children evermore to rejoice in singing your praises. Grant that what we sing with our lips we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts we may practice in our lives, so that being doers of the word and not hearers only, we may receive everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.